I'd like to talk about Acts today, because the reading we had was the very end of chapter 10, the end of the story. So it references the stuff that happened earlier in the chapter, and therefore doesn't necessarily make masses of sense out of context. So what's happening in chapter 10? This is the point where the gospel message changes. Not the message itself, but who it's for. This is the point, 9 years after the death of Jesus, when Peter learns that the gospel is not just for Jews, it's for Gentiles. The people we meet at the end of chapter 10 are the first non-Jewish Christians. They're the reason Christianity spread everywhere. They're the reason we're here today. So let's think about them. Up to this point, all Christians have had to become Jews before being Christians, or they were already Jews. They've accessed the gospel through Moses. And there's animosity between Jews and non-Jews, just generally. Non-Jews are thinking that they do things like worship pigs and very hostile as an environment. And Jews have deliberate rules set up in order to preserve their cleanliness, in order to preserve their ability to engage with God, that says, I mustn't go and visit non-Jews. I mustn't go into their house. I mustn't spend time with them. I mustn't be their guest. So Peter, at the beginning of chapter 10, is in a town called Joppa, and he's a little bit peckish, so he falls asleep. Oh no, he's a bloke, just roll with it. When he's fallen asleep, he's given a vision by God. God shows him a bounty of animals, all four-footed reptiles and birds, and they're displayed in front of him. And God says, Peter, kill and eat whatever you want. Peter is a good Jew, and he says, no, 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 God, I only eat things that are clean. At which point God says, do not tell me things are unclean that I have declared clean. And he says it three times because, let's face it, Peter, not the smartest of people, needs things repeated a lot if they're important. He doesn't always catch on very quickly. So Peter wakes up and thinks, well, that was a bit confusing. And then three men show up from Caesarea, from Cornelius, the Roman centurion in our reading. And the Holy Spirit says, go with them. Peter's a good Jew, but he's also very obedient to the Holy Spirit. So off he goes with these unclean Romans on a three-day walk from Joppa to Caesarea, because the Holy Spirit said so. And he gets to Caesarea, and he says, why am I here? And Cornelius says, well, I had a vision from God that I was going to send for you, and you were going to come, and you were going to give us a message. And Peter goes, ah, now I understand. I understand the message. I understand the vision. It's not just food that's unclean. It's not people that are unclean. Everyone. This gospel is for everyone. This gospel is open to all. And so he stands there inside a Roman house where he shouldn't be, risking being ostracized from his community, risking the Jewish believers in his very early churches and faith turning and saying, you're doing something so very, very wrong that we're going to reject this message that you've given us. Risking so much, and he tells them the gospel. He says, there was this man called Jesus, and he was baptized by John, and he traveled around, and he healed people, and then he was crucified, and then he rose, and he gave us this message that if you believe in him, you are saved, and your sins are forgiven. He doesn't change the message of the gospel in any way from what he was preaching to Jews in the first 9 chapters of Acts to what he preaches to Gentiles in chapter 10. Because the gospel doesn't change regardless of who we are. This is God keeping his promise to Abraham, the promise that through him all nations will be blessed. This is God underlining the fact that everyone is made in his image, not just one chosen people. This is God highlighting that we are saved through grace, not through our actions, not through our conforming to certain legal rituals, but through the grace of Jesus and that we believe. And then we get to the part of the reading that we read, which is the important part, but let's have some context before we get to it. This is where God really underlines that point. Because the Holy Spirit comes upon those Gentiles in that house in a way that is almost unique in Acts. We've had 9 years of the church growing. We've had 9 years of people hearing the gospel message, converting, becoming Christians, pottering along their way, being quite happy, spreading the message on and on. Only at Pentecost have we had the Holy Spirit coming down and blessing people in the way that we see again here. The Gentiles are welcomed into the church community in the same way that the original apostles were. That's how emphatic that welcome is. The people who were outside, the people who were deemed unclean and shunned, are welcomed into the community so emphatically that no one can deny them their right to baptism. No one can deny them their right to be part of this church. So, where do we go from this? Well, firstly, the gospel's for me. It's the first thing I took away from this. It doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter about any of the inherent characteristics that I have. It doesn't matter if I'm a man or a woman, if I'm from this country or another. It doesn't matter how rich or poor I am. The gospel is for me. And if I believe, I have a place and a home in this church. By extension, the gospel is for everyone. And if you believe, you have a place and a home in this church. And then there's that last part at the end, where Peter orders that they're baptized. Because this, I think, is the most challenging part. It's not Peter who baptizes and welcomes these new people into the church. It's not even God, because he's already done that. It's the circumcised people who've come with Peter. It's the existing members of the church who are ordered to baptize and to welcome, to say, come in, to say, be part of this family with us. You are worthy because you are human. So we're called to be in the world. We're called to evidence the love of God through our actions and through the way we treat other people. Because the gospel is for us. And we love because he loved us first. And by the love that we show other people, they see the gospel in us. Thank you. Amen.